I'm going to start in a unique way. And if you don't mind putting that PowerPoint slide up, I'll tell you when to advance them. And it's really nice being with you today. I have lived in this area. Actually, I live near Richfield. And I put in my GPS, St. Thomas Independent, because the last time I came here was during a UMEA meeting. And I went the long way. I knew how to get here, so I went the long way. I went on some roads that I didn't even know existed. Wise Road. That was then, and I heard a wise got married. I'm guessing that's who it was. And it was right. That was right. So I have to just kind of introduce myself. And this introduction is going to take a little bit, but then we're going to get to the Word of God. And my goal was to be done by 11. And so let me introduce myself. We'll even talk about long-windedness. We'll talk about that. Okay, I work for a ministry called Keys Connections. I was a pastor for 21 years, and then God called me into mission work. Keys Connections is formerly known as Keys Ministries. Keys Ministries is based in Liverpool, Pennsylvania. Yes, and our ministry has become one of the gigantic ministries in the former Soviet countries, not just Russia. There are 15 total former Soviet Union countries. There used to be 15 states in the Soviet Union. I'll show you on a map later sometime this week. And so I work for that ministry, and I, Pastor Roger, he asked me, he said, how often does your church have communion? And I said, well, I go to so many different churches because I preach in different churches in revival type of ways, in mission type of ways, which is the same, and also in Bible conference type of ways, just to preach and teach God's word, because like the songs that we sang today, I'm going to refer to two of them. Does anybody know without looking? Don't look. What does your hymnal say on the front? Sing joyfully. Excellent. One thing you might like about me or dislike about me is I believe the joy of the Lord is my strength. So sometimes I get a little silly. I apologize in advance. So we're going to have some humor mixed in with some things here during this week. But I went through a major stroke 2 years ago. Most people say they can't tell. And that defined my life. When I had that helicopter ride, it was to rush me. There's, you see the helicopter? Life Flight rushed me from Evangelical Hospital, where they stabilized me, and then they put me in a helicopter to have brain surgery. So if I forget things, it's because I had to have brain surgery. And when Pastor Roger said his wife's his other half of his brain, well, now I wonder, okay. I just wonder if I even have a half a brain. Can I point out something that's very human? All right, I'm going to do it anyway, even if you don't want me to. It's very human to examine the speaker who is speaking in front of you. Number one, I don't like jackets. They make me hot. So I'm going to take that off. I would say I'm about 35 pounds overweight. So let's get that out of the way, okay? It's okay. I don't believe everybody is supposed to look, you know, a certain way. I believe we're all shapes and sizes. Recently, I was I was teaching at another mission. While teaching at that other mission, a woman came up and said, "I am so glad you started to talk. I didn't recognize you. Did you lose your hair?" So in case you're wondering, yes, I am bald, and I like it because I get up in the morning. I didn't have to do anything. I just got up, took a shower, washcloth, done. I don't even use a hairdryer anymore, in case you're wondering. I said to her, the woman who asked me if I'd lost my hair, I said, yeah, about 30 years ago. Did you lose more recently? And if I would have been offendable, I would have been offended. But I thought this was funny. He said, no, didn't lose any more recently. There's not a whole lot left to lose. I said, but it got a lot whiter. And she said, yeah, that must be it. So. some other things. When you think of a speaker, you go, am I going to like his voice? Well, I don't like my voice. So if you don't like my voice, let's just try to adjust to it and get used to it. My mother doesn't like my preaching. My father, who died recently of Parkinson's disease, he was 86 years old. Praise the Lord, he's with Jesus. My father said, you're my favorite preacher of all times. My mother doesn't like my preaching because I move around too much and because I don't use my notes much. She said, Paul, you should be stoic. Stand in front of the pulpit and deliver with no movement. And my dad did this. Nobody likes that. So if you like that, I'm sorry. And now I'm going to get serious. What in the world are revival services? I asked Pastor Roger that, sitting there in the back during the end of Sunday school. He had the same exact answer as me. Revival is to bring the lost to Christ. That's part of it. Number two, revival is to revive us so that we're clean vessels bringing other people to Christ. That's what revival is. Part of revival is repentance. So let me say what I loved. By the way, I love the song, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. But I don't think I ever saw in verse 3, that it said, we'll never leave the shelter. Well, now that's not real biblical. We're supposed to come to the shelter, and then we're supposed to get out of this shelter to Jesus, through Jesus, and share what the Holy Spirit of God is doing in our lives. Amen? And then you sang, this is the air we breathe, or something like that's the title. And then I'm desperate for you. And at that time, I said, you know, I need to go to the altar and just confess, Lord, I'm desperate for you. I can't feed you from God's word unless I'm desperate for my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of my sermons, this is how the Holy Spirit starts to work in the early. One of my sermons is about breathing heaven's air. This is the air I need. How do we learn to breathe heaven's air? Now, in the introduction part again, I'm going to go one more thing. If I come down off the pulpit and start moving around, that's what my mother doesn't like. So she would have been okay if I would have done this and took my glasses off. I literally was taught, if you have glasses, that's a way to make a point. I don't think I have ever done that. Normally, if I make a point, it's because I just want to get close to you and say, wake up! We live in a desperate world, and we desperately need the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen is also the word yes. So you can say amen or yes if you want to. Have you ever been to a church that's salt and pepper or a black church? They are so awesome. They talk, they repeat the sermon right back to you. I don't think I'll be able to teach you that today. PowerPoint number two. If you'll advance that, please, for me. Okay, it's a coming. There it is. The mission that I work for works a lot in persecuted areas of the world. The former Soviet Union is either still persecuting believers, some of the countries, or they live really close to where persecution's happening. The pictures here, this is normal scenes in some areas of the world. That's literally Lebanon there on fire. About 3 years ago, we had teams that were going to Lebanon because the post-Soviet world believers believe that they need to reach out to places that are being persecuted. So I actually get to be a voice for persecuted believers. That is awesome. I've been in underground churches, and I never really knew how to minister until I was with persecuted believers and saw how they lived. some of the coolest things, I literally just got shivers up and down my spine, is to see former Muslims come into Christ and entering the waters of baptism. I don't know if you can tell, but this guy here, he kind of looks like Jesus. And you put him in a film. He has the biggest smile on his face. Most people, when they are baptized, are like, I'm wet and I'm grumpy. Not me. When I was baptized, I was like, wow, I want to follow Jesus. That's kind of what you're telling people when you're getting baptized. I want to dedicate my life to following the Lord Jesus Christ. You can advance to the next slide, please. In 2018, I went to the Middle East, to the country of Jordan. We had two young ladies. You'll see their picture on the next slide, but two young ladies working with a group of churches there, and they would entertain teams of our students. We are a Bible college ministry. We don't bring them to the United States. We train them there because once they come to the United States, they want to stay. We got enough preachers, especially really bad ones. And we got some lighthouses like St. Thomas, pastors who want to teach you the Word of God. And what happens when they come here is they kind of settle in and learn how to be American. Boy, that's a bad recipe. So often America, the churches in America need revival. So I was there and I got to, it was amazing. I got to teach and preach in a Muslim country about Jesus. They told me, they said, remember, we're being watched, so be really careful not to talk against Islam. Just talk about Jesus. And that's easy to do. Just talk about Jesus in a persecuted country. And if you get thrown out of the country for doing that or put in prison for doing that, it's for the glory of Jesus. So I was there with the two young ladies. Next slide, please. I was there with the two young ladies and had another fellow along with, and we ministered for a week there in Amman, Jordan, and that region. I actually went up the mountain where Moses didn't get to go into the promised land, but he was able to go up to the top of a mountain and God showed him the promised land. I have never been to Israel, but I've been to that mountain and I looked over, I could see Jerusalem in the distance. I could see the Dead Sea and I could see the Jordan River. So I saw it, just didn't get to go in it yet. But to hear people whose lives were Muslim and now had understood who Jesus was and now were believers in Jesus, that is some life-changing stuff for them and for me. Those girls were arrested in September of 2019 for preaching Jesus. They were allowed to have one phone call, and they called me. Brother Paul, we trust you. You're our only phone call. They're putting us in prison. We're leaving now. They gave us a little bit of time to get our stuff out of our apartment. We gave it to some friends, and we're going to prison. Help. Get us out. We need money for plane tickets to leave the country. And I looked at them. Didn't look at them. I looked at my phone. I was all nervous. Normally, they'd call me through an app, but they could only call with no video. And they said, Brother Paul, can you get us the money? I said, I will fly to Amman, Jordan, and use my own personal credit card to get you out. If I need to, I'll start to work on it right now. That was a Friday. On a Saturday, not kidding you, this actually happened. I was working hard. I was getting things around. We already had the money. I just told people we needed the money, and it was going to cost around $1,600, and we're going to get them out. On Sunday, I had two churches to preach in. I finished preaching at Weikert. There's a small church in Weikert, PA, near Troxville, other side of the mountain, Union County. Finished preaching at that, started driving up over the hill, the mountain, the short mountain. It's in between Troxville and Weikert. And I had a stroke on the way in my car. I didn't know it was a stroke. It's a sharp pain in the back left part, by the way. It's still tender there, right there. I thought, man, that's kind of weird. I never get headaches. I wonder what that is. And it's like a stinger. It's a really sharp pain. It's like, oh, wow. And then, can I confess a sin? Okay. I drive too fast. Did anybody hear that? I drive too fast. I have a tendency to have a heavy foot. And by the way, I have a tendency to be a long-winded preacher. But I'm keeping an eye on that time. We have 7 more minutes till 11 o'clock. So I drove the rest of the way to the second church. And I couldn't figure out why there were like 10 cars behind me. Here, my brain wasn't working 100%. And I slowed down. I looked at my speedometer and I literally said to myself, you're driving like an old pappy. Because I was going 30 miles an hour in a 55 zone. I didn't figure it out. I'm not that smart either, in case you're wondering. It doesn't come real quick to me sometimes. I didn't realize that I was in trouble. So I drove to that church. And when I got to that church, I was like, I feel pretty good now. I went to get out of the car and I couldn't walk well. I was stumbling, almost like I was drunk, and I don't drink. But I thought, you know, I probably didn't have enough water this morning. A little dehydrated, going to go in there. I knew that their bathroom had cold water, so I was drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking and walking in very gingerly so I didn't fall and embarrassed myself. Then I walked up to the front of the church, sat in the second front row. They had the song service. I stood for every song, holding on for dear life because I still felt dizzy. The organist noticed. She thought, Paul doesn't look right. Nobody else noticed. And she didn't, she just thought, well, maybe he's just, you know, a little pale today. I walked up, delivered the whole message, about 25 minutes, closed in prayer, and then I said, Pastor Alvey, you know which one that is, don't you? St. Peter's Independent. Pastor Alvey, he's sitting right about where you are, lady in the black sweater with some white dots on it. I can't tell what those dots are. I said, Pastor Alvey, did I make sense while I was preaching? Because I'm extremely dizzy and I don't feel well. You should have sold the church. They were like, I could have given an invitation and probably everybody could have come forward. It was awesome. And I worked my way over and sat down in the chair and I still had the microphone on and I said, does anybody have any candy? Maybe I'm having a low blood sugar problem. You know, that something's wrong with me. I had so many pieces of candy. The candy that's in women's pocketbooks, you know, sometimes they forget it's in there. It's melted Snickers bar. So I had like melted Snickers bars. I was just jamming it in. And I hadn't had breakfast that morning. He was putting all this candy in. He put me in the ambulance and he said, your blood sugar is way off. I just had a ton of candy. Man, yeah, so all I can say is I knew I was having a stroke by the time my whole left side was gone, but I could still talk. Now, those of you who don't know me already, I can talk. I can talk your ears off and then talk your neighbor's ears off too. So I got to be careful. I'm not talking too much. Back to serious. If you're frustrated about COVID-19, I'll put this on when I'm greeting you because I still have a COVID cough. 10 months ago, I had COVID. I came up front to be anointed because I just asked the Lord for my voice to last because it wears out every once in a while. They say I now have asthma. Didn't have it before. Now I have it. And I have one of those puffers, emergency. About once a week, I use that. And I'm on steroids. I think that's why I'm fat. Could be. Let's blame it on something, you know. I'm here for a reason this week. I want to ask you to consider something. This church is only half full. And the comfy seats aren't sat in as much as the uncomfy seats. I don't understand that. I'm gonna give an invitation that's very different than maybe you've had recently. Do you want to bow your heads and close your eyes? How can they hear unless someone is sent to them? Romans chapter 10. That's how Pastor Roger started the service. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. I want to ask each one of you to just consider something. I want you to, you're not committing to bringing someone to church. I'm asking you to commit to praying about who God might have you bring to church. In a little bit, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you just to mumble along praying silently in your seat or out loud, doesn't matter to me. A prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And that is, Lord, I'm going to pray it right now. Heavenly Father, who in my life needs to hear about your son, Jesus? Pray that prayer. Who, Heavenly Father, in my life needs to hear about Jesus? I don't want to stay in the shelter. I want to leave the shelter to bring someone to the joy of the Lord, to salvation in Christ alone. Help me, Lord. By your Holy Spirit, continue to push me towards having the boldness to just say, come to our church. We're having special services this week. I'd like to just have you hear how to have joy in the midst of this horrible, horrible world that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have 1 minute. 1 minute. This is serious. I have never seen the world and I see overseas world too. I have never seen the world as bad as it is now. Now, if you advance the slides, please. I'm gonna skip that one, go to the next one, and go to the next one. There you go. I want to finish the story about two young ladies. So they're in prison, and then I had a stroke. And I had promised them I would, no matter what, get you out. And now I can't fly. I can't drive. I have half a brain. I had to go to rehab. And my associate in the ministry, Don Castelline, if you ever listened to the WGRC radio station, he's one of the announcers. He works for Keys. He's our executive director. I said, Don, I know you just started full-time 5 days ago, but we need to get those two girls out of prison. Paul, when I heard you had a stroke, the first thing I thought of is, Lord, I can't do it without him. And what a prayer that is. Lord, save his life because I can't do it without him. And so he comes to the hospital, my first visitor other than family, and he goes, so how are we going to get him out of prison? And I said, I'm here for you. I can still talk. I can still make sense of things. I said, here's who you need to talk to. And I said, two or three people that you need to talk to. You know, without me, those girls got out of prison. And when they got out of prison, they said, we wish you hadn't got us out so quick. Because we had ministry amongst the hurting people in prison. You feel like slapping somebody when you say, I wish you hadn't got it out so quick. Don't you want to help people to be released from the bondage? That's my push today. Roger, you're up. And thank you for inviting me. Here we go.
Hey, Paul, I'm going to finish. Invite somebody to come out this week. 7 o'clock this evening through Wednesday night. The Bible secrets have been revealed. The salvation secret. And there's the secret of joyous living, unleashing the supernatural in your life, and the secret of the rapture. That's what he'll be speaking about this week. So those are the subjects. Lord willing, and the Spirit be willing, he'll be doing that. Amen. All right. Now, it's your turn to go back and get your cup. If you haven't, we're going to take communion. Next few moments, we're going to be taking communion.